This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops, The Breakdown of Law and Order, the story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Save $5 when you pre-order your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store.
Nothing gets you going in the morning like a good cup of Joe and a little Howie Carr, right?
We love Howie Carr, right?
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Hey, paper boy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for the captain, as callers have called him, the giant of talk radio for Howie Carr. I like that people tell me that Howie's so great. I'm a super fan. I listen to this show. That's how I know how to fill in, is that I also am a listener. I'm a fan, and I love the Howie Carr Show. So I love Howie. I love Grace, and it's an honor to be sitting, filling in here, bringing you news, analysis, opinion on this Labor Day. Speaking of news and opinion, there is an event going on in Portland, Maine. I was on my way. I was leaving after lunch to come into the station. Thanks to the Portland Media Group at WGAN for letting me broadcast for Howie's show out of their studios. And I was driving through downtown Portland, and there were lines forming for this event at the Cumberland County Civic Center. I said, what is going on? And it turns out that all of these, you know, blue-haired, you know, baby boomers with nothing else to do were attending an event headlined by none other than Bernie Sanders. The Fighting Oligarchy Tour was making a stop in Portland, Maine, in support of Troy Jackson, the former Senate president who's running for governor, and this newcomer, Graham Platner, who's running for U.S. Senate. He's a Democrat. He's trying to challenge Susan Collins if he can win the Democrat nomination. But Bernie Sanders is here to help them do it. Joining us now on the line is Christina Parker. She's the director of communications at the Maine GOP. Christina, what is going on in Portland, Maine today?
I mean, Bernie Sanders is coming to Maine to hang out and talk about socialism, which doesn't make any sense for Maine. Like, I don't know where he's going with that, but he's inviting Troy Jackson and Graham Platner to join so that they can just have a Bernie bro moment in Portland, Maine today.
So Troy Jackson was the chair of the Bernie Sanders for president campaign in the state of Maine. So I understand that. I understand them hanging out and Bernie trying to scratch Troy's back. Troy's running for governor and they want to be friends. And Troy used to be kind of like a labor kind of Democrat, but then he went full socialist to try to be more popular. But who's this Graham Platner guy? Like, he all of a sudden like seemed to appear on the scene. I never heard of him before. Claims to be an oysterman from Maine. He'd never had anything. But the day that he announced, like a week or so ago, that he was running against Susan Collins, unlike every other no-name has-been or never heard of person, that he all of a sudden had these national profiles. There were these like glossy pictures in the New York Times. Who is this guy, and what's he doing with Bernie Sanders?
So he's an oyster farmer from Maine who, I mean, he's a socialist, obviously. And basically what happened is he hired Mom Donnie's like advisor, Morris Katz, to produce this campaign launch video where he could come in and say, you know, the oligarchy sucks and Mainers can't afford anything, which, I mean, it doesn't make any sense considering all the issues he cites on his campaign are issues caused by Maine Augusta Democrats. But he came out of nowhere, decided that he is tired of the oligarchy and he's going to be, you know, pro working class, as if nobody else is fighting for the working class. You know, Donald Trump obviously did in 2024. And I guess he's running for Senate. And, you know, while he's doing, he's bashing the rest of the Democrat Party. And he seems to think he's the only one with a grand idea on, you know, maybe he's better than Susan Collins because, you know, he cares about the working class. You know, that's his campaign. So I don't know really what's going on with that, but he seems to be the doll of Democrats right now as this new Democratic socialist, which basically means obviously socialist, as you know.
Has anyone like confirmed that he actually is an oysterman? Because like, again, I've never heard of him before. I'm sure he has a boat. I'm sure he's been on the water, but like, is this guy like real or is he just like a plant from the deep state?
I mean, it's very real possibility that he is a plant. He does have a couple videos of him hanging out on a boat talking about oysters. But as you know, sometimes candidates will hop onto boats and or even hang out in fields and stuff and talk about, you know, working class things when in reality that's not the case for them. I mean, you saw that happen with Troy Jackson and his, I think, governor campaign launch. But I mean, like anyone, you're going to pull the cards that you can. So if he's an oysterman, even one day out of the week, he's going to act like he does that all the time so he can relate to the people he's trying to campaign to. So, I mean, who even knows at this point?
Like Mamdani, I'm sure he's a bit of an actor. No, it's interesting because I tried to learn about this guy now that he's got Bernie Sanders campaigning for him here in Maine. Sanders, who serves with Susan Collins in the U.S. Senate. And I looked at kind of some of his priorities, and one of his priorities is welfare for all illegal immigrants. He also thinks that illegals should have the right to vote here in the U.S. He wants to block the referendum in the state of Maine that would require voter ID when you vote. Are these the policies that the people of Maine and the people of New England seem to be clamoring for? They need more Bernie Sanders and illegal immigrants in their lives?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've been on the phone with many Mainers who call me and they say, I am trying to get gas. I'm trying to get electricity. They can't afford either because of policies coming from Augusta. But then in addition to that, they're saying, I saw someone who is illegally in this state waltz into whatever office they're in and get access to these, you know, services and welfare that Mainers deserve and are working hard for. So, I mean, I talk to a lot of Mainers. I think that the immigration issue is 80-20. I think that voter ID is 80-20. Most things that are common sense are. I mean, the same thing with the girls' sports issues. Like, it makes sense that you should have to prove that you're an American citizen to Mainers think. But Graham Plattner's coming in here and preaching that that's not the case and that, you know, he has the right idea when it comes to immigration. And he's trying to stop this mass deportation that is overall going to benefit our state and it's going to benefit our country.
Well, and I think it's what people in the U.S. want, right? It's the policies they support because they've seen what's happened under Janet Mills. They've seen what's happened under Joe Biden. They've seen what's happened under Democrat left-wing leadership. And so I just think that it's crazy to think they would want to go further to the left. But maybe that's the other impact is by watching Janet Mills, people realize that everything that she did is wrong. So either you're going to have room on the right or room on the left. Do you think that Troy Jackson represents kind of the future of Maine? Or what are you hearing from voters? And do Republicans actually have a shot statewide? Or is it kind of a lost cause and Janet Mills has kind of cemented this new dark era for the future of Maine?
I mean, I can't say anything specific about what's going to happen in the Democrat primary. I mean, they have so many candidates and they're just, you know, family members of candidates that we already have who have proven not to be good. Like Angus King's son, I think, is running. But I mean,
Angus King's son and Shelley Pingree's daughter. These people, I mean, these are the ones that say no kings, and yet they're the ones that are busy having their children run to replace them and creating their own kind of royal dynasty lineage. It's laughable.
Yeah, and the Democrat Party and just liberals in general have gone so left that the Republican policies seem like common sense, and it's because they are common sense. I mean, we want people who are Americans to be in our country. We want Mainers in our state. We want voter ID. We want girls to be safe when they're playing their sports. We want, you know, low taxes. We want people to be able to afford their electricity. So I'm confident that the Maine GOP and that the national GOP absolutely has a shot in 2026, because the things that we are aligning ourselves with is what most everyday Americans, everyday Mainers agree with, which is just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. Stop trying to infiltrate my state with your New York or Vermont socialist policies, and let's just do what we've always done and work hard and build a life for ourselves. But they're trying to come in here with these insane policies, not even like accounting for the fact that they care more about, especially Graham Plattner, cares more about Palestine than he does about America. And he cares more about these illegal immigrants than Mainers who have been here for generations.
So as the GOP in Maine thinks about this next election, like, how is How are the Republicans going to finally kind of break this cycle? Because it seems like Donald Trump has teed up some winning issues. You see this Trump derangement syndrome. You see the socialist reaction. It seems like it should be fertile ground that Republicans should be able to make gains. But how are they actually doing? Because we've seen time and time again in places like Vermont and Massachusetts and Maine where it should be common sense, and yet the Republicans don't get it done. How are Republicans doing it differently this time, Christina?
I mean, differently this time. You saw what Donald Trump did in 2016, and we saw what he did in 2024. So obviously that would be a good path to go, and we're going to follow the general trends that he went down, which is, you know, appealing and talking to everyday Americans, everyday Mainers about what they want to see. And like I said, I've had so many conversations with Mainers, and I mean, they're not talking about these like super niche culture issues. They're talking about the fact that they can't buy toys for their kids on Christmas and they can't afford their groceries. So I think, like I said before, is the way the Maine GOP is going to win in 2026 is by fighting for issues that people actually care about, which is lowering grocery prices, addressing the housing crisis, lowering taxes, you know, a balanced budget from our legislature, which doesn't ever come when the Democrats are in charge. So we don't endorse anyone up until the primary. We're going to let them talk it out. We'll let Maine Republican primary voters decide who they want, for example, to represent them in the governor election and in elections across the board. And then when we do have one candidate that they decide we want, we're going to put every resource we have into getting them elected so that Mainers can afford to live where they want to.
Well, I think that people want to change. I think after you see what Janet Mills is doing, the fights that she's been having with the Trump administration, I think people are just really, I hear it all the time. People that know him from Maine are surprised that Mainers tolerate it. And we certainly wish you luck and hope that there's something you can do. Christina Parker, she is the Director of Communications for the Maine Republican Party. Christina, thanks for spending time with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to be reaching out throughout the show and see if I can find anyone that's going to the Bernie Sanders rally and see if I can get them to call in. So we might have more on that later. So stay tuned here on the Howie Carr Show to see what we can learn from what Bernie Sanders and his Stop Oligarchy Tour has in store for Portland, Maine. What is the most common question that JJ Manning Auctioneers gets asked? The question is, why would someone ever auction their real estate? Why don't they just list it for sale? Well, the answer is when you sign on with JJ Manning Auctioneers, you actually are listing your property for sale. You're listing your property for an auction sale. In a JJ Manning auction, you bypass the exhausting negotiations and you bypass all the weasel clauses. You sell your property as is and contingency free. This means no contingencies for inspections, for financing, or for anything else that could change the deal. This is especially huge in Massachusetts, since all traditional listings will soon be required to have a home inspection before closing. For the straightforward, no-nonsense thinker, like Howie listeners, auction is the most efficient way to sell your valuable real estate. In a JJ Manning auction, you set the terms, you sell contingency-free, and you pick the day it closes. JJ Manning works with estates, businesses, families, builders, bankers, real estate brokers, and anyone who wants their real estate sold today. The waiting game is over with JJ Manning Auctions. Check out an upcoming JJ Manning auction from a listener on September 17th, a three-bedroom home on the Oak Bluff section of the Vineyard. So if you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today and mark it sold. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
We're back on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Howie. 844-500-4242 is the number. I like seeing Sebastian Gorka on CNN because they need the pushback. And it's the type of pushback that calls them out for having so much inaccurate news on their station. Cut 14.
So let's narrow it down then, because by CNN's count, when you look at 32 school shootings since 2020, in which you have four or more people who have been killed, so these are the larger school shootings, only three of 32 of those shootings were committed by transgender shooters.
Yeah, forgive me if I don't go with CNN stats, okay? CNN has proven itself to be wholly inaccurate in all kinds of things for the last 10 years, perpetrators of the Russia hoax, and that we didn't have an open border. So please forgive me if I don't take your stats for granted.
Don't take your stats for granted because of the distortions. And it's the same type of distortions of facts and truth and one-sided news that just called Donald Trump to once again call for the FCC to revoke the broadcast licenses for NBC and ABC, which brings us to the topic of today's poll question. And also, I just have to say that, like, there has been so much uneven reporting that I'm surprised this hasn't gotten more attention before now. You've seen it in the settlements and the lawsuits with George Stephanopoulos. You've seen it with what happened with 60 Minutes. It's unsurprising, but I just don't know, like, why it takes everyone by surprise every time that it happens. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Howie had his first appointment at Perfect Smiles, and it was a good thing he scheduled it early because he needed a filling replaced. Bacteria from a compromised filling can also irritate the surrounding gums, potentially contributing to gingivitis or periodontal disease. Dr. Houghton was able to take Howie right away, and he's the best. That's why Howie only goes to Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's so worth the trip that while visiting, Howie met three listeners. They came from Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. Perfect Smiles, worth the trip. Visit them today at perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is today's poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at howiecarshow.com, is other than MSNBC, which network would you take off the air for too much fake news? ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, or Fox News?
If this were Trump 1.0, I would have said CNN, because those were the days where they had, you know, it was nonstop with Acosta, with Brian Stelter. It was nonstop. Now, though, you've got Scott Jennings on there. You've got I think their ratings have tanked. And so they're actually responsive to the market forces. So I say you go after the broadcasters. I still think that Margaret Brennan and 60 Minutes are some of the worst. I would go with CBS.
CBS is in second place at 17%. CNN still in the lead, 55%. 16% for ABC, 8% for NBC, and 4% for Fox News.
I do still think that you don't need to necessarily take them off the air or take their licenses away, because the market is doing the work for them. The reason why Stephen Colbert is being taken off the air is because they were losing money, because no one's watching. No one wants to listen to what Stephen Colbert has to say. No one wants to listen to what the ladies of The View have to say. I think they're going to be the next victim. I can't wait. I wish that there would be a settlement and a payout between The View and Donald Trump, just so that you could see the looks on their faces when it happened. It's long overdue. It's long overdue that there was a comeuppance with all of the fake news, all of the lies and distortions, the media lens that gets put on everything that the right has to say. Don't forget that all of the things that they're accusing Donald Trump of, they first accused George W. Bush of. They accused Reagan of it. They accused Bush the father. They accused Mitt Romney. They accused John McCain. And so Trump is one of the few people that will actually push and push and push, because he's ready. He knows that he's going to get the criticism anyway. So he might as well make the advancements for the side of what he believes in and actually do it. And finally, you're starting to have places like CNN that will allow Scott Jennings to give us the Republican side of things. Do you think that a few short years ago they would have allowed Scott Jennings to push back on what Dr. Anthony Fauci had to say? The fact that they're allowing that perspective is because they realize that MSNBC is tanking, that CBS, that ABC, that all of the ratings, the viewers, the fate of Stephen Colbert, this is all because of how they've rigged their coverage. They've rigged the system. And it's only if they can be more fair and more balanced and actually report what's going on. It's okay to disagree with the current administration. It's okay to ask questions, even these like ridiculous questions about is Trump dead over the last few days. All right, fine. It's okay for someone to point out and say, hey, the president has been seen. It's uncharacteristic for Donald Trump, and to ask the question. It's refreshing to see the question asked, because no questions were asked during the Biden administration, and any president should have to answer it. But to go so far down the rabbit hole that you believe anything that is said by Clapper or Comey or KJP or Psaki, and you question anything said by Caroline Leavitt, like it's the difference, it's the distinction, it's the fact that it's no longer on the side of the American people and the American public and just bringing news and bringing truth to power. It's 100% part of the political operation. And if you are just an extension of a political party, you should not be getting from the public a license to have public airwaves. It shouldn't be given to a political operation. And make no mistake that that's what these news stations, that's what these broadcasters, that's what these channels have become. They've become just an extension of one political party. More Howie Carr coming up when we come back. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Speaking of the bias in the media, Kristi Noem, she's the Secretary of Homeland Security. She's the former governor of North Dakota. She's now lashing out at CBS, the very same CBS that I was saying I would take the license away from. She's lashing out at them because they edited her interview where she was talking about the truth about Kilmar Obrego Garcia. Now, Kilmar Obrego Garcia, I think he's the new mascot for the Democrats. He is the illegal alien who was deported to El Salvador, then brought back because he's not allowed to be deported to El Salvador because of fear of rival gangs. Even though they denied that he was in a gang, the other gangs were out to get him, so they couldn't send him to El Salvador. He had to go somewhere else. And he's been accused of human trafficking, and he's been arrested for that. But the left keeps finding ways to defend him and to do it. Now, Kristi Noem released the video of her interview, and then she released what they actually showed. Here's the segment that aired on CBS, Cut 18.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America.
Very short, very succinct, very to the point. They cut it and they move forward. Now, here's what Secretary Noem released, which was her full answer. Cut 19.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America. This individual was a known human smuggler, a MS-13 gang member, an individual who was a wife beater, and someone who was so perverted that he solicited nude photos from minors. And even his fellow human traffickers told him to knock it off. He was so sick in what he was doing and how he was treating small children. So he needs to never be in the United States of America. And our administration is making sure we're doing all that we can to bring him to justice.
Notice that they took out anything about what he actually did, what he's actually accused of, in order to just focus on like the narrow. And they say, oh, we cut it for time. We cut it for accuracy. We cut it. No, there's a reason. There's an agenda. And it doesn't pass the straight face test. So good for Kristi Noem. 844-500-4242, the number on the Howie Carr Show. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Tony. What's on your mind, Tony?
How you doing, Aaron? Really quickly, I'm going to follow up. The Denver shooter was trans. Aberdeen shooter, Denver, Georgia, Philadelphia, Uvalde, Colorado, Minnesota. We don't need it to be 100% to know that there's something wrong with the mentality of these individual people. They need help. They should get help. Now, the states that have citizens that were acting on behalf of corruption, 47.8% of citizens stopped crime with their own good guns in states where there were restrictive gun use, and in states where you are permitted to use your gun, the good guys, good citizens, stop the bad guys, 62.5%, underreported by the FBI to 0%. Listen, you have a gun, and you're a good guy, and someone's going to shoot somebody in a school. The Uvalde cops, the Uvalde police force, were cowards. They did not go in. They let children on cell phones die, Aaron. You know what? You are a coward if you cannot go in and take a bullet for children. You should not be a cop. But those brave citizens of the United States that believe in self-reliance, that don't believe the government has all the answers, well, guess what? There's a lot of people that would have gone in had they had their guns, had they been left. The children died there, okay? And I don't understand. What is it that the left is supporting? Criminality? Pritzker is supporting criminality, people that shoot other people. It's not enough that you see the statistics out of Washington. In the period of time that Mr. Trump came in with his police force and his people that were just following the law, one murder in a period of 10 days, as opposed to the enormous amount of murders. And Aaron, what is it that the United States wants? The United States wants self-reliance. We do not want election nullification. We do not want blue states obstructing through lawfare, sanctuary states. And they call it sanctuary states, but really it's amnesty. You're allowing people that are illegally in the country to continue to do illegal activity. And if only one of them kills somebody, that's enough to send them all out. Look, I'm a Canadian guy, and when I come to the border in Maine, when I go through at Jackson or anywhere else, at Colburn Gore, I got to give them my passport. They got to vet me, and then they say, okay, this boy's okay. He can come in. I'm not going to do damage to Maine. I love Maine. And what about these people that have nefarious content in their minds? That's what it is, nefarious content. And I believe that every school, every institution, whether it's religious, and I don't care what religion it is, every school, every religious institution should have a guard that is armed to shoot the shooters that are malicious and malevolent. These are the people that we should get rid of. And anybody in the United States that doesn't believe that a person should not be protected in a house of worship, whether it be any house of worship, from a psychopath that's going to shoot children that are age-adult, I don't know if you
but
really
what people
understand.
Like J.B. Pritzker and others, they want, and thanks for the call, Tony, what they want is they want to make sure that the only people that have guns are the people who are breaking the laws and are here illegally that don't follow the laws. And that's the fallacy of all these laws that they pass. Chicago, Illinois, D.C., these are places that have more gun laws than anywhere else in the country, except maybe Minnesota, where you're seeing how it plays out. And how it plays out is it favors the people who don't follow the law and puts people who are law-abiding citizens at a disadvantage. It puts their safety at risk because if you're going to follow the law, unilaterally disarm and only let the bad guys have guns, that's absolutely right. So thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. There was a story in the news that Rudy Giuliani over the weekend was in a car accident. He's now been released from the hospital. After the car accident, he says he had some healing to do, but otherwise in great shape. He suffered a fractured vertebrae when he was rear-ended while traveling as a passenger on Interstate 93 near Manchester, New Hampshire. So that happened over the weekend. Giuliani now released from the hospital. And in breaking news, Donald Trump has just truthed out that as president of the United States of America, I am pleased to announce that Rudy Giuliani, the greatest mayor in the history of New York City and an equally great American patriot, will receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, our country's highest civilian order. Details as to time and place to follow. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. So Rudy Giuliani will be receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Jared, was that on your bingo card, Rudy, to get the Medal of Freedom?
It was not, but I actually like it. I know people have been kind of down on Rudy because of the 2020 election stuff that he completely messed up. But, I mean, he was America's mayor, and after 9/11, he did a fantastic job, not only for the city, for the country. I think this is well-deserved, but I didn't see it coming.
I don't see it coming either. I think obviously Trump's doing it because he's in the news right now as part of the accident that happened. But good for Giuliani. We obviously wish him and his family. I think Giuliani's son, I think, works for Trump, right? Andrew Giuliani, I think, is in the Trump administration. So that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Trump is such a showman, though. You know, he knows how to seize a moment. Like, yeah. Was it the Medal of Freedom that he presented to Rush Limbaugh when Rush was in the balcony? It was a surprise at the State of the Union before Rush died. I mean, Trump has a way of doing that and honoring the nostalgia and honoring people that helped build the movement, even if they're not at the forefront at the moment. So that is a development, one we will follow. Rudy Giuliani receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Monica Crowley tweeted it out, which is how I saw it, which I think she's been doing a great job as, what is she, director of protocol? She orchestrated the The visit by all of the heads of states that happened, you know, in a weekend they were able to pull off. I think she's been a really remarkable asset to the president, and he's certainly lucky to have her. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna. Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher, this device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition, and it's designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, providing a critical window for you to escape or get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from a Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and aggressively approached him. Remaining calm, Adam dialed 911 and armed himself with his Byrna launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation. The driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. Officer confirmed that Adam's non-lethal response was perfectly judged. That night, Byrna didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and it can be conveniently shipped directly to your door. Over 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show, and I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot.
Howie Carr is back.
Back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Howie, 844-500-4242. You know, the left is kind of funny. There are these new banners that are hanging apparently on the Department of Labor for Labor Day, and it's a picture of Donald Trump. It says workers first, and it's all about workers. But because of the way that they're draped on the building, there are these pictures coming that are being posted now by federal employees that show the face of Donald Trump. His eyes overlay these two windows. And so it says, photo passed along from a federal employee from inside the Department of Labor building where a giant Orwellian image of Trump's face is now draped outside. And you can see Donald Trump's eyes kind of staring in the building. You know what's Orwellian? What's Orwellian is claiming that illegal aliens are somehow legal if they say the word asylum. What's Orwellian is when everybody needs to have their vaccination card checked before they're allowed to get on an airplane or go to the movies or participate in sporting events. Orwellian is when people tell you that Biden is alert and active and he's like Socrates in the back room when he's actually sunsetting early and unable to make decisions. We've experienced what Orwellian looks like. For Donald Trump, who's known to put his name and his face on the side of buildings, continue to do that same thing when he's president, to be considered Orwellian and Big Brother watching, is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Orwellian is what we see from the media every single day. And that's why in talking about the media, it was important to say that on CNN, at least now you're seeing people like Scott Jennings be able to speak out. And that's what we've been waiting for and we've needed. There's plenty of room for opposition and disagreement, and that's what's allowed in this new world. Listen to Scott Jennings talking about COVID and what happened and how we need to like look at the CDC, how we have to look at the NIH, how we have to look at the public health regime after what we went through with COVID. Cut 24.
As it relates specifically to the COVID vaccine, which has been a flashpoint lately, you know, I do think there are legitimate questions about whether it should have been mandated. And they took away the emergency designation. I think only 23% of American adults said they got it last year. Only 13% of children were given it. So the American people had started to make a decision about that. A lot of Americans have questions about all of this because of what happened during COVID with some of these officials that we're hearing from now. They didn't cover themselves in glory in what they told the American people about the safety and efficacy of that particular vaccine. So the reason we're here is not because of Kennedy. The reason we're here is because the public health regime deserves to be turned inside out after COVID.
I do
think it's not inappropriate for the government to have on a rolling basis investigations of what we're doing, because sometimes we find out that what we're doing or what we told the American people turned out not to be true. So rolling investigations of vaccines and the advice we give the American people on this, on food, which is another big, you know, part of his agenda, he has a lot of popular support for that, truthfully.
I think that's right. I think that the emergency authorization that was given because there was a pandemic. It was a type of technology that hadn't been used before. So now the emergency's over, like, go ahead, finish the research, finish the studies. And that's what the investigation that RFK Jr. has called for, which today Donald Trump has truthed out. Now people are saying, oh, it's all sentence case. It's properly capitalized. And that's just evidence that Donald Trump is dead. Or it's evidence that he doesn't type his own tweets. He dictates them to someone, like we've all seen in the videos, that he dictates to someone who types them for him. But here's the truth from Donald Trump today. It says, it is very important that the drug companies justify the success of their various COVID drugs. Many people think they're a miracle that saved millions of lives. Others disagree. With CDC being ripped apart over this question, I want the answer and I want it now. I have been shown information from Pfizer and others that is extraordinary, but they never seem to show those results to the public. Why not? They go off to the next hunt and let everyone rip themselves apart, including Bobby Kennedy Jr. and CDC, trying to figure out the success or failure of the drug companies and their COVID work. They show me great numbers and results, but they don't seem to be showing them to many others. I want them to show them now, to CDC and to the public, and clear up the mess one way or the other. I hope Operation Warp Speed was brilliant, and many say it was. If not, we all want to know about it and why. Thank you for the attention to this very important matter, President DJT. Now, Donald Trump wants to defend Operation Warp Speed because it was a great feat of science and a great feat of operational excellence to be able to get vaccines made in record time and delivered to the public. But what he's saying is there's information he's been given in private that hasn't been made public. And if it hasn't been made public because it's not true, or if it's misleading, or if it doesn't withstand scrutiny, then he wants to know. And I think that's his way of like having his cake and eating it too, saying, hey, I'm on the side of what I've been privately told, but I support the desire to find out publicly for the American people with scrutiny what actually happened and what the results actually were. And I think that is really what this comes down to, is you can both support and understand and defend the work that RFK Jr. is doing while also wanting to see, like, if there's data that shows that it was great, cool, like, let us know. Let's follow the actual process. Let's follow the data. Let's follow the science. But when we shortcut it and we don't provide transparency and truth to the American people, it's dangerous. And I think a lot of people that are in the administration now, whether you go to Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who he was isolated after being lauded as someone who was very smart and successful. He was isolated for asking any questions during COVID. You have the FDA commissioner, Dr. Makary. This is what he had to say, the FDA commissioner, on Fox Business. Cut 26.
CDC needs an extremely strong leader. It's a broken agency. This is an agency that with 20,000 employees could not generate a website to track the COVID virus. It was eventually created by one Johns Hopkins grad student. He created a COVID website that the world used. And it's not just one or two mishaps at the CDC. Culturally, operationally, scientifically, they've lost their mission. They propagate dogma. They pushed cloth masks on toddlers for 3 years. They insisted schools shut out children for nearly 2 years using a phony pseudoscience document that the teachers union edited, and those edits appeared in the final document. They made up 6 feet. They pushed vaccine boosters in young, healthy people. So the CDC needs a realignment, and it needs an extremely strong leader.
I don't know anyone who would disagree with that. What we lived through and what we went through, all of the pseudoscience, all of the theories masquerading as science that you weren't allowed to question, you weren't allowed to debate or to discuss. And even when they realized they were wrong, they barely ever admitted it. They just changed the guidance, moved on, pretended nothing to see here, nothing happened. This is the direct result of that. There's finally a reckoning where all of these things that happen are going to be scrutinized, they're going to be analyzed, and there needs to be consequences. There needs to be some sort of change so this type of thing never happens again. Speaking of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, he was good in saying that it's not just at the CDC. This is actually the whole public health regime. Cut 25.
I think a lot of people lost trust in the NIH and in science, actually, because what happened during the pandemic was so terrible for so many people. The schools closed, People were forced to wear masks when it didn't seem to make any difference. And then, of course, the vaccines didn't stop you from getting and spreading COVID. And the NIH, I have to say, sad to say, was associated with a lot of those policies. You know, Tony Fauci's name, you know, people associate that primarily with the NIH. But there's much more to it than just Tony Fauci. It's an amazing institution that has a 100-plus-year history of developing cures and treatments for the most intractable diseases. A lot of what medicine is today is because of the history of the NIH. And it's just an absolute honor to be able to, you know, run the place.
I mean, that's exactly right. The level of trust in public health, public science, the things that we were told, it took a huge hit. And the CDC wants to say, oh, we reformed ourselves. You just don't know about it because we did it privately. We did it secretly. We want public transparency. We want government we can trust. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.